This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
According to police, a creepy teen stalker poaches girls for months before mowing down the two little girl victims who are riding their e-bike on a quiet neighborhood street. Mowed them down dead. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Two teen girls from New Jersey were best friends who shared countless school days and weekend adventures, found their latest journey ending in unimaginable tragedy.
Oh, my stars. How many times has my son or daughter gone for a walk or gone to ride their bike? And yeah, I'd be a little bit worried, but it would be hard to imagine that someone was waiting around the corner, revving the motor of their Jeep, waiting to see them go by so they could floor it and mow them down. Not really even an accident. I'm having a hard time making sense of what I am learning about these two little girls now dead. And for what? A creepy teen stalker? They're dead? How are the parents making any sense? Look at her. Look at her cute little makeup and her cute little eyelashes. How long did it take her to do that? Just trying to look cute, trying to look like some magazine. Oh, look at the other little girl. I am telling you, these facts are like nothing else I've seen. And just think about it. In their own little neighborhood, mom and dad see them go out the door and think, oh, they're going for a bike ride. Good. Listen to this.
Her mom just screamed. I heard it outside my window, and I just heard a loud scream, and I ran out my door, and she was just crying.
Maria and Isabella are best friends, attached at the hip. Maria grows up in Cranford, New Jersey. She loves makeup. Isabella loves to sing and act, a choir and drama club member at Cranford High, her church, and the community theater. As usual, the girls head to Maria's house after school Monday and go for a bike ride at Golden Hour.
Some of that first sound was from our friends at Pix 11, the so-called Golden Hour. Straight out to Melissa McCartney joining us, investigative reporter, host of the Killer Jeans podcast, and author of The Making of a Crime Reporter. Melissa McCartney, thank you for being with us. Now, I got to take this from A to Z. The story really starts months before when the stalking occurred. And I would like to report that the parents tried to handle it then, and nothing was done. And now their daughter is dead. Their daughter and her little bestie are dead. Melissa, I don't want to start with the 3 months before when the stalking allegedly started. I want to start with the day of the murders. And yes, I'm saying murders. Melissa, don't start with me about a crash or an accident. Don't say accident. Don't say it. Okay, do not. When there's a vehicular homicide and the person intends it, that is not an accident. So let's just go with crash for right now. Start at the beginning when they walk out to go get on their little e-bikes.
Yeah, this is definitely intentional, Nancy. So these two teen best friends, both 17 years old, they're out riding these electric bikes like any other day. It was in front of the family, Maria's family block. This is really important to mention. It was a quiet residential street. They felt safe. The speed was 25 miles per hour. They were riding along, and that is when the driver came barreling down at 70 miles per hour. Definitely intentional.
Okay, stop
everyone
right there.
Who
stop
witnessed
right there.
It.
70 mph.
Mm-hmm.
And this
right.
Tree-lined, quiet neighborhood. Guys, this is on Burnside Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, just outside Maria's grandma's home. Some of her family actually witnessed the crash. not realizing Maria was involved. Mowed down by a black Jeep Compass with tinted windows. And there, look at her, riding their e-bikes. Okay, hold on, Melissa McCarty. I'll be right back with you. Straight out to Lisa Herrick, board-certified attorney specializing in juvenile crimes, which is a whole nother animal. I hated juvie. Everybody in our office had to do a long stint in indictments and then a long stint in juvie, juvie jail, juvenile justice, where a lot of times you would see the judge just sit around this circular table so nobody would be at the head and cause any hurt feelings, sit around a circular table and say to the defendant, it could be somebody charged with murder or rape or child molestation or sodomy on a child, a dope dealer, not a dope addict, a dope dealer. You know how the drug lords love to use juveniles? Because
Yes.
When they get caught, they can only get, 18 months. When the dealer, the real dealer or the drug lord gets caught, they get life. So they hand the drugs to the juvenile so they'll get a lighter sentence. So the judge will be sitting on the table and look at the defendant and go, how are you feeling this morning? My teeth, I just want to gnaw through the file because in my mind, I'm thinking about what happened to the crime victim. Anyway, my point to you, Lisa Herrick, you're a veteran trial lawyer. 70 miles an hour, 7-0. That's no accident.
Absolutely, Nancy. And so what you're talking about is that even the most serious offenses, when it involves a juvenile suspect or a juvenile respondent, defendant, whatever the jurisdiction's word for that person is, even the most serious offenses do start in the juvenile court. The court is designed to be able to handle any type of offense. There are some exceptional circumstances sometimes where the court may transfer that case to an adult court, depending on exactly what it is that happens and whether or not the judge thinks that's the appropriate course of action.
When you say certain circumstances, in certain circumstances, a juvenile case will be transferred or bound over to an adult court, felony superior court. And they are typically, across the country, some variation, the seven deadlies, including when the juvenile is charged with murder, rape, aggravated assault, such as a shooting or a stabbing, armed robbery, child molestation, arson, and what would the other one be? Maybe aggravated rape or aggravated child sodomy. All cases that deserve to be tried in adult court. Bound over from juvenile to adult court, but of course it's not automatic. There is a hearing,
correct,
a bind-over hearing, to determine will they really get an adult sentence. But I don't see any way out of that in this case. If it had really been an accident, why would he be flooring at 70 mph in a neighborhood? I could just see it right now, right outside Grandma's house. Melissa McCarty, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to clarify that 70 mph is no accident. Go ahead. What happened then?
Right. So the impact was so intense, Nancy, that one of the girl's electric bikes wedged itself into his SUV, the driver's SUV, and stuck there while he tried to flee the scene. And this is the most traumatic and chilling part. Her family witnessed it. Maria had a twin brother who also witnessed this. As you mentioned, they rushed out to help and found it was their daughter and her best friend.
Melissa McCarty, you're absolutely right. Listen.
At 5:30 Monday, Maria and Isabella ride their bikes in front of Maria's home. With a speed limit of just 25, the girls feel comfortable riding in the street. With no warning, a black Jeep Compass barrels down Burnside Avenue at nearly three times the speed limit, never brakes, running Maria and Isabella down, then speeding off. Witnesses call 911 and rush to the girls, Maria's family inconsolable. One of the girls is declared dead on the scene, while the other passes away minutes later at a hospital.
Her brother saw her get hit, and they said it was on purpose, and they were just crying.
From our fans at PIX 11.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
To John Pizzurro joining us, former New Jersey, this jurisdiction, state police investigator, 25 years in L.A., multiple departments, including homicide, organized crime, not easy in Jersey, commander of Internet Crimes Against Children, task force for the New Jersey State Police, currently CEO of Raven, eliminating child exploitation and trafficking. John, thank you for being with us. I want to talk to you about the fact that the e-bike was hit with such force that it wedged into the front grille of the Jeep. Tell me what kind of force that you're seeing the Jeep right now. There it is. That. How would you like to see that bearing down on you at 70 mph?
I mean, I've seen a lot of different accidents and fatalities, Nancy, but the premeditation there is what really drives me. I mean, the anger to create that kind of damage at that speed is utterly insane.
You know, it would have to be an immense, immense impact for the bike not to just get knocked over, but to hit so quickly and so forcefully that it actually wedges into the grill of the Jeep. Just think about it. To Dr. Priya Banerjee joining us, board-certified forensic pathologist, anatomic pathologist at Anchor Forensic Pathology. Dr. Priya, thank you for being with us. My point, the reason I'm stuck on
thank
the
you.
Bike being hit with such impact that it basically melded to the front grill. What do you think that bike impact, the collision impact, did to the two little girls? One was thrown yards and yards away through the air. But the impact, a lot of people might think it's when she hits that is what kills her. Of course, she could hit her head on the curve, which would kill her. But it's the impact. That's what killed her.
This hits very close to home as the mother of a young girl who's out in the neighborhood. The impact is a huge transfer of force, energy, and that's going to basically crush them. It is, I'm hoping, instantaneous death with massive trauma, such as head trauma or chest trauma. I'm hoping that makes them suffer less as a consolation to the family, but this is beyond comprehension.
Put her up. Was that supposed to make us feel better, Dr. Priya? That she died instantly?
No.
Well, I have to hand it to you. It actually does make me feel a little bit better because to this day,
okay,
I'm talking years later, I will wake up at night. It will hit me in the middle of the day like a sack of bricks. Did my fiancé know what had happened to him when he was shot 5 times? What did he feel? Did he know he was dying? What were his thoughts? Did he try to speak? I hate that. So the fact that they died, may have died instantly, is very cold comfort, but comfort it is. But isn't it true, Melissa McCarty, that one of the girls made it to the hospital and then died? So one of them did not die instantly.
Right. Unfortunately, one of them, we don't know which one at this point, but they were airlifted to the hospital in efforts to try and save her. But she ended up dying from her injuries at a local hospital.
Oh, you know, Dr. Priya Banerjee joining us, you and I have analyzed a lot of cases. And recently we were analyzing the case of a brilliant law professor, Professor Dan Markell, whose raging mother-in-law was infuriated. He would not give away custody of the two little boys, her grandchildren. So she ordered a hit on him, Donna Adelson. And he was still fully conscious after the hitman shot him multiple times and was trying to speak to a neighbor and moving around. And that has haunted me and haunted me and haunted me, thinking, Was he trying to send a message to his little boys? Was he trying to think, oh, God help me, I want to see them graduate? I mean, what would have happened with this kind of impact? Would the girls have known what happened to them? Because we know one of them was alive when she got to the hospital.
Right. You know, it's all speculative, but I think there's always a moment, from my understanding, that they, you know, of perception, seeing the car coming at you, at least the headlights. I think that's probably the most horrific thing to think about, that it's about to hit me with such speed and purpose, right? It's aimed at them, which is horrific to think about. Once one girl is dead at the scene, I'm hoping that is, again, instantaneous. Now, I'm hoping the other child who survived temporarily was, let's hope, disoriented. You know, surviving could be, at the scene, could be just a pulse, maybe some gurgling or just garbled speech. But I'm hoping that her senses were decreased and that, you know, that it wasn't as apparent what had happened to her.
You know, to Dr. Janie Lacey joining us, licensed psychotherapist, CEO of Life Counseling Solutions, author of multiple books, and you can find her podcast on YouTube, The Resilient Professional. Dr. Janie, you know, sometimes I post pictures of my twins. Recently, I posted a picture of them at church. They were leading in a procession. And I don't know, I think the choir was singing. It was really pretty, so I caught it on video. People online, well, one person, just one, said, her dress is too short. If you could see my daughter, she's gorgeous. She's got legs up to here. And I'm like, girls, show them off while you can. But my point is, I'm looking at these photos of the little girls, and in some of them, they've got totally a face full of makeup. And a lot of people have commented, what's with that? I love it. I love that these little girls are home in front of their mirrors, playing in makeup and putting on nails. I always wished I had been a girly girl instead of climbing trees and building forts. And I look at her in her little tiara. Oh, there you go. I love that shot right there. Because, you know, when you see her in the next shot, she looks like a little schoolgirl in a uniform. She's just like playing in makeup, having a good time, looking at all the stars online, trying to put on makeup like they are. Look how cute. I mean, you know what, Dr. Janie? It's the dichotomy of looking at these two cute little girls and imagining them look at them playing in makeup one day, and the next day they're mowed down by a freak at 70 mph because he's angry one rejected him. That's what this is all about, according to police. That one of the girls didn't want to go out with him, didn't want anything to do with him. And he was stupid enough to talk about it online. And yes, I have the video, which I'm going to play for you. But right now, the dichotomy of looking at them just so scrubbed in sunshine, playing in their makeup, and then imagining them dead on the street, exsanguinating, bleeding out dead.
Nancy, this case just represents a catastrophic system failure, in my opinion, where repeated warning signs were ignored, and they resulted in two, what I would say, preventable deaths. You know, as someone who lost my own sister to domestic violence, I understand how devastating it is when people that are meant to protect us fail to act. So my heart is shattered for these families, because this is exactly the nightmare scenario we work so hard to prevent. And what haunts me, Nancy, is that Maria did everything right. She reported him. She told adults. Her family sought help, and the system failed her. So this isn't just a tragedy. It's a preventable murder. But help has to be there when it's reached for. So Maria reached and no one grabbed her hand. And to me, that was just unconscionable, Nancy. So I think what we're seeing here with this perpetrator is we're seeing a textbook escalation pattern of a stalker who became
increasingly dangerous when his target, Maria, rejected him.
Isabella Salas and Maria Niotis were enjoying what seemed like an ordinary day together, blissfully unaware that a figure from their past may have been shadowing their every move.
Imagine that on two little teen girls riding their e-bikes along their neighborhood street outside grandma's house. Once that Jeep is recovered, many facts become elucidated. Listen.
Police find the black 2021 Jeep Compass just blocks away on Lincoln Avenue with a bike still lodged in the front bumper.
Families release a statement claiming their daughter's deaths were not an accidental hit and run. They say the driver, a coward of a man, has been planning an attack on Maria for months. Friends and family say Maria's classmate at Cranford High, who once pursued Maria romantically, has been harassing, stalking, and threatening Maria for at least 3 months.
What in the hey, I got to tell you something. You know, Lisa Herrick joining us, veteran trial lawyer partner at Varghese Somerset. Lisa, have you ever had to deal with a stalking case? That's just a yes, no.
Not one like this. Yeah. Not one like this.
Okay, let me tell you something. You don't want to because no. When I'd rather try a serial killer, which I have, rather than stick my hand into a stalking or a divorce-related crime, those people they will shoot the prosecutor, no question, or the divorce lawyer. The divorce lawyer, because the emotions are so high. And I've had stalkers come into court and look at me like I'm pure evil. And the victim would be terrified to see the stalker in court. It was palpable. It's like hanging in the air, like a Harry Potter Horcrux. You could just feel it. And in this case, did you hear this? Melissa McCarty, did they just say friends and family stated a classmate at Cranford High pursued Maria romantically and had been harassing, stalking, and threatening her for at least 3 months? 3 months this has been going on?
At least stalking, not only physically parking outside of her home, according to many of her friends, neighbors, and also family members, but online and at school as well.
Online, at school, parking in her neighborhood, staring at her. Listen.
A friend of Maria's shows the media text he received from the alleged driver after he asked Bartoloro to stop bothering Maria. Quote, "I'm not leaving her alone until she apologizes to me," unquote. The driver then threatens to create and distribute AI-generated nude photos of Maria. He sends a photo of another nude girl writing, quote, "I did it to one girl, I'll do it to another," unquote. The conversation ended with the teen writing, "Keep running your mouth and I'll create your girl's nudes right now."
He's been parked out front of her house.
Online
in
school.
Her.
Yeah.
It was, the school was notified. The police were notified. Like for 3 months now.
And nothing happened?
No.
He was never stopped?
No.
Dave Mack with us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. If the school knew about this and did nothing, and I want to confirm that, they all need to be fired.
Nancy, I think the school did take action. We're dealing with because of the age of everybody involved, you know, they're pretty cagey about releasing names and things like that. But he was suspended from school based on an accusation from Maria's family that he sent child pornography to them. And that led to some legal consequences.
Dave, I'm so glad you told me that. I've been so focused on the actual criminal case. I'm so relieved that he was suspended. You know what that means, Dave Mack? That the family, his family, knew that something was going on, something wrong. So I guess when the victim's families are saying nothing was done, that must mean criminally stalking, because he was suspended. Did he get back in, Dave Mack?
Well, okay, the charges that were coming about apparently were dropped and he was allowed back in. But he still talked about wanting revenge for what had happened to him.
Oh, for the little suspension. Okay, you're absolutely right. Let's play that right now. Let's see him in all his splendor and glory.
I think Maria's hungry. I think we're going to send her a pizza. Sure. So, y'all know I have a vengeance against this girl for accusing me of sending. I'm going to call a pizza to her house. Yes. Cash at the door. So, Fula, or my dad wants to call you Falula. Don't fool me. Stupid name. You should not have accused me of sending porn. And you should not have dragged me into creating a police report.
That from at VinnyBat118 on YouTube, and that would obviously be the suspect, who is innocent tonight, by the way. We're all innocent. We have the presumption of innocence unless and until the state pierces that presumption with evidence that proves the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I want to analyze what I just heard. Melissa McCarty, he says, I think Marie is hungry. And he's talking about the murder victim, this little teen girl that has rejected his advances. I think we're going to send her a pizza. So y'all know, quote, I have a vengeance against this girl for accusing me of sending porn. I guess that's the alleged AI-generated nude photos of little girls. You stick a nude body on the head of a little girl, and suddenly you've got a nude of her. He goes on to say, you should not have accused me of sending porn, and you should not have dragged me into creating a police report. This is the little girl he's talking about. Do I have that right, Melissa McCarty, joining us?
You do, and it just is a sample of how vindictive and how fixated he has been on Maria. And having some kind of retribution for what he feels he was wronged. He was live streaming this to his fans on some gaming website of YouTube and TikTok. And he was really giving insight into his psyche months before the incident.
But it doesn't end there, Melissa McCarty. Listen.
Can I get two large pepperoni pizzas?
Orders.
That's it.
No drinks?
No drinks.
Okay, thank you.
It'll be cash at the door.
3835, over.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye. And I have the VPN on so I can't get tracked. Oh!
Do you hear them laughing? That is from at VinnyBat, B-A-T-T, 118 on YouTube. Do you hear them laughing about, I think Marie is hungry and ordering a pizza that she would have to pay for when it got there? My daughter or son, well, my daughter would not be able to find $30 to save her neck if she had to on a delivery. That would not happen. And then she'd be all upset, like, what am I going to do? She'd text me and call me, Mom, there's a guy that wants $30. What am I supposed to do? I don't have $30. So that's what he's laughing about. Oh, and there's more. Listen.
Should I do it? Here's the thing, though. I did that the last time, but the mother saw me pull up in the car. And I got tracked, and the police, you know, did what they did. I don't think I should do it.
Again, from at VinnyBat118 YouTube. Did you hear that? Because he is cackling and laughing, John Pizzurro, former New Jersey State Police, this jurisdiction. He's laughing about having a VPN, virtual private network, where he can't be traced, according to him, and ordering the pizza and stalking her online through a VPN. The little friend says, you should go to the house and see it pull up, the pizza. Battaloro says, should I? Here's the thing, though. I did that last time, but the mother saw me, and I got tracked, and police, you know, did what they did. So he is overtly trying to avoid detection. This guy knows what he's doing, John.
he should be tried as an adult. I mean, obviously, he knows, look, there's not a lot of people that know a lot about VPNs, but he's doing everything he can do to conceal his identity while terrorizing these girls. Ultimately, that's what he's doing.
Should I do it? Here's the thing, though. I did that the last time, but the mother saw me pull up in the car, and I got tracked, and the police, you know, did what they did. I don't think I should do it.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Maria had been haunted by a boy from a neighboring town who relentlessly stalked her and made unwanted advances for months. His obsessive behavior forced Maria to file a restraining order against him.
How does this guy have 40,000 followers on TikTok? Listen.
Just hours after allegedly mowing down Maria and Isabella, Battleoro goes live on YouTube for a round of video games with a friend. Battleoro has nearly 40,000 followers on TikTok and several hundred tune into his gaming streams. Over the last 6 months, Battleoro frequently discussed a situation at school with Maria. In his stream, Battleoro is inundated with messages condemning his actions and taunts his audience that every comment just makes him more money. Battleoro eventually turns commenting off and addresses the crash.
Dr. Janie Lacey, you're the psychotherapist. I'm just a trial lawyer. Could you explain what is an incel, involuntary celibate? That's usually for grown men. But this 40,000 followers watching him play live stream video games, they watch him play as he trashes the victim and talks about what he's going to do for revenge because she rejected him. What is an incel? What is a baby incel?
Well, when I'm looking at what we just heard, that they have these ability to get these audiences, especially when they become skilled at certain video games. So with the generations, this is a common trend, I would say, that a lot of the gamers can make money off of people watching them, taking tips from them. But there's a lot of commentary that particularly happens when they're gaming. And in these commentary, we're also seeing that we're also getting some evidence. Because, you know, when I think about this, Nancy, that stalkers, they often operate with just this dangerous delusion, as he was. You know, he's talking about the situation at school to his followers, but they also believe they have a right to their victim's attention, hence sending the pizza. And the attention of time and their affection, and when that's denied and they don't accept it, they escalate. So when we're looking at all these red flags that we just heard, the surveillance, the digital harassment, the physical proximity threat, the mom seeing him, and the persistence despite the rejection, the restraining order, which didn't stop him. But, you know, the comment that would make there, Nancy, is the most dangerous time for a stalking victim is when they set a boundary, like a restraining order.
Dr. Janie, I've got a question. Doesn't anybody have bark? And I am not, an endorser. I'm saying this because I have Bark. I don't understand why parents don't have Bark. It's an app, and it pops up whenever one of your children, it's on their phone, when there is violence, when violence pops up, self-harm, sexual deviancy, and, okay, one time it popped up, self-harm on my son. I'm like, what? And it shows you what they consider to be self-harm. It was John David plays on varsity soccer, and he dived through the net to stop a goal, and he stopped it. But he got a big bruise on his arm. He was so proud. Look what I did. And he posted it to somebody. You know, I saved the goal. And that's what they picked. That's how sensitive bark, like a dog, roof. That's what it is. And then the other day, I never have seen this pop up. It said sexual something. I'm like, oh, it finally happened. He found out about sex. And I look, guess what it was? The Nancy Grace Show on a Diddy case. So, okay, that's the one. I'm like, okay, I guess he's got to unfollow his mother. But that said, I wonder, where were the parents? Did they not understand what was going on? They didn't. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, how could the parents not know he was suspended And yet he still had his Jeep that he was using to stalk her and still doing this, laughing about it, ordering pizzas and so forth online to her home that she would have to pay for. What? Where were they in this mix?
So this is interesting. He talks about that on one of his live streams on YouTube. He talks about what happened to him at school with the police report and how it's affecting him at home and causing him mental anguish. He addresses that. And what I think is very interesting.
Did you just say he's having mental anguish?
He talks about how it's affecting his mental state. Exactly. Right. But he talks about this and that he's having trouble at home because of all of this. So he's, you know, putting the evidence out there, and he's also admitting to this harassment and these things that are getting him in trouble on the live stream.
Well, he should have trouble at home. And actually, at least that means his parents were trying to do something. Listen to this.
In a neighboring town, unfortunately, two girls were killed in a hit-and-run crash. Now, there has been a lot of misinformation going on over the internet. But I will say this. I wish my sincerest condolences to those two girls lost in that tragic accident. Okay?
The gall. That from at Vinnie Bat 118 on YouTube. That is Vincent Battaloro talking about the misinformation on the internet about, as I call them, the two murders, and giving sincerest condolences. It's like, spit that out of my mouth. It tastes like poison. And there's more. The gall of going on and saying that. Listen.
It is an absolute unfortunate situation. And there's more to the story that you're not getting. But when the time comes, I will explain it in greater detail. I'm not authorized to talk about the old thing. I'm not going to give you any more information.
At VinnieBat118 YouTube.
Making threats against my family will not be tolerated. My cousin has received hateful messages over social media about this whole spiel, and he's had to unfollow me on everything because of this whole drama. Why are you guys getting him involved? It's one thing, okay, if you hate me, you hate me. If you don't, you don't. You're opening up Pandora's box, getting family involved. And that just does not sit right with me.
Okay, first of all, that's from at VinnieBat118 YouTube. Is he actually threatening people? Is he saying, you talk about my family and you're opening Pandora's box, and that just does not sit right with me? What? Oh, I'm sure Lisa Herrick is just withering right now at the thought of having a client that takes to the internet. But there's more, Lisa. Buckle your seatbelt. Listen.
And I want to address something else, okay? Because this is a very serious incident that happened. And I really don't even know if I should be streaming this right now. But I have built a great following on TikTok with 39,000 followers that I have grown since 2020. And I want to thank each and every single one of y'all. I love you all to absolute death.
That's from at VinnieBat118 YouTube. He is worried, Lisa Herrick. You're the veteran trial lawyer. I'm so happy right now. He's worried about his followers on YouTube. His 40,000 followers. He's threatening people that have spoken out against him and his family. And I'd like to add, his dad and uncle are in law enforcement. Right. That's his response. He's lashing out and worried about his YouTube followers while the girls' families are imagining their daughters getting embalmed. You know what getting embalmed means? They take all the fluids out of your body, all the organs out of their body, and they shoot you full of chemicals chemicals, and then they paint your face to make you look natural, not dead, and put you in a box before you go under the ground forever. And he is worried about his followers and making threats online. Technical legal term, you can go straight to H-E-double-L on a broomstick. And I don't mean riding it. I mean, you go ahead. I want to hear your response.
Yeah, as a defense attorney, you never want a client to take to the internet and share how they feel about an incident they're accused of. This is not a good look. It's going to be a lot to overcome for his attorneys when he does get defense attorneys. They certainly, as he predicted, they would have advised him not to do that.
Take a listen to this.
I took a hiatus from streaming, and this has to do with my personal life, and this involves school. I got a bunch of allegations being handed to me of crazy stuff I will deny for 50 years to the end of my life. Ridiculous allegations that this girl is making against me and over because I got into her relationship business, and now the school, and now I'm going to tell you all this, cops got involved and the school got involved in this, and somehow they're believing this crap. So they suspended me basically indefinitely until they figure, which makes, again, makes no sense. Because they should have waited until they were, if they're really believing this is true, criminal charges filed, which there haven't been, because this is all bogus. So that's happened. I'm waiting to see, you know, when I get this appointment for my, they want to test me for a savory assessment and sexual, which I don't even understand it.
He's talking about a savory test, a structured assessment of violence risk in youth. Structured assessment of violent risk in youth. SAVORY is the acronym. Well, if you don't understand it, what it is an assessment of your degree, your level of violence, and if you have sexual deviancy, because you won't leave this girl alone, according to her family. And now she's dead. Listen.
We've tried to appeal the decision, and apparently that decision can't be, which doesn't make sense, because, oh, we can appeal the school expulsion, but we can't appeal a savory assessment. That I don't find to be making any sense. We hold the card. No, you don't. You can authorize a decision making on whether I do this or not. So they will not, although my expulsion has been rescinded, I'm still not basically welcome back until I do it. That is why I haven't been streaming. It's taken a deep effect on my mental health, but because of the support of my mom and dad, who are both defending these bogus allegations and shit, which I think is sick, twisted out, and outlandish, they're defending me. They wanted to search my phone. The school wanted to search my phone and shit, but my dad told them that my dad refused. Get a warrant, and then we could talk from there.
At VinnyBat 118 YouTube.
Though Union County prosecutors keep the driver's identity private, traffic summons records reveal his name, Vincent P. Badaloro. His father, an officer with Chatham PD, and his uncle, chief of Westfield PD, the teen was also under investigation for harassing and stalking his classmate, Maria Neotis.
Badaloro's uncle, Christopher Badaloro, chief of police in neighboring Westfield, confirming that the suspect is related but not a member of his immediate family. Chief Badaloro writes that he in no way condoned, defend, or excuse his nephew's actions. Badaloro says he was required to remain silent but unequivocally condemns the teen's actions and demands he face consequences determined by a court of law. Chief Badaloro expresses his condolences to Maria and Isabella's families, saying his family is grieving alongside their neighbors.
And that is why the parents said, no, you can't look at his phone without a search warrant, because they know the system. The dad and the uncle, heavy law enforcement. Where does it stand right now? Straight out to Melissa McCarty.
Right now, he is facing two counts of first-degree murder. Right now, it could be he's charged as a minor, but that could change. We have to wait and see what the DA decides.
So right now, he's still in juvie court, looking at a max of about 5 years behind bars. That's where it stands. This as the girls' family, Maria and Isabella's family, endure their funerals. We wait as justice unfolds if you know or think you know anything about this case, whether you think it's inconsequential or not, please dial Cranford PD 908-709-7200, repeat, 908-709-7200. Nancy Grace signing off. Good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.